We actually have two portions of text here to think about today, and one I'm just going to read to you, and the other one we'll spend some time and pick out some verses. It's a very familiar story that we'll be talking about, but I always get excited when I think about what transpired that day, and hopefully bring out some things, some new challenges as well to think about. 1 Samuel chapter 17, stand with me if you would please, and verse 45, as we think about the story of David and Goliath. Story of David and Goliath. And, you know, the Philistines is who David will be fighting. The Philistines are the bad guys, and David's the good guys represented in this story. And of course, we know the conclusion. We know what happened here in the story. You know, God wrought a miracle, and a little shepherd lad, probably, you know, between, oh, who knows, 14 to 15, probably no older than that, was able to take on a great big giant, almost 10 foot tall. And some reports put him over 10 feet tall. To give you an idea, a basketball hoop is 10 foot tall. And so this is a massive man that a little guy came out one day to fight, and God gave him the victory. We'll talk about this story. In verse 45, it says this. It says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us today as we bow before you, our God, as we ask for your help in this service. We pray for utterance. We pray, our God, that we could bring some things pleasing to thee. And help us this morning to have a voice that would communicate your great truths. Help us know where to park and where to elaborate that would help the group that meets under this very roof this morning here, we pray. And so speak freely. May our hearts be open and may they be pliable in your wonderful, kind hands. We ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen. You may be seated. The other text, just for way of notes that I'd have you write down, would be Psalms 27. It says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." This is David again commenting later on in his life, commenting about he's just going to trust in God. Now, chariots would be like tanks back in those days. I mean, if you had a chariot, you had a tank. And so you had one mean weapon. And so they would count a lot on chariots, and they'd count a lot on horses as some of their main weaponry back then. But David said, "But we will remember the name of the Lord." You know that God had Israel, he didn't have them use chariots. They burnt the chariots. And you know why? He didn't want them to ever trust in the chariots. He wanted to remember that their strength came from him. And so that army fought without the chariots. Even though Solomon, you know, later on in life, he got together chariots and things. But, you know, he didn't always do everything right. His wisdom dwindled at the end as well when he, the very thing that he had the most of began to knock him out of the situation, which would be he had most wisdom, and yet he acted so foolish towards the end of his life. And so one of the things would be going against God's word with all the wives and chariots. God was always going to be his strength, and God was going to take care of Israel. So as we think about this chapter of David and Goliath, just quick review there of this great scene. You have the David being a shepherd, and David's brothers in this battle, and they're gathered on one side of the hill. Israel's on one side, and the Philistines on the other side. And Goliath comes out every morning. He comes out and challenges somebody to come out and fight him. And the idea there is with the challenge, if one person, if somebody could beat him, then Philistines would serve Israel and vice versa. If Israel lost, then Israel would serve the Philistines. Every morning he came out and he defiled them and defied God, God's people, and blasphemed his name in this valley. And he intimidated people where he looked like somebody that was unbeatable. He looked like a difficulty that you couldn't solve, a hurdle that was too big to get over. And so people's hearts fainted and no one come. David came one time checking on his brothers by... His father sent him, said, go take some food, go take some cheese and some food, and probably cheese and sausage. and, you know, take some mustard, and, you know, take some of that, and, you know, go and see, check on your brothers. And David saw this, and then famous words came in this chapter. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And, you know, his brothers, especially one of them, told, you know, trying to summer him down, calm him down. You be quiet about all this. And David wouldn't. He just turned and he'd look and he said, you know, this shouldn't be. This guy shouldn't be able to defy God like he is and challenge God's people like he is. Somebody should go out there and whoop on him. And, you know, and the news got to the king that there was somebody wanting to whoop on this giant. And they came to David. And so here's David. They come and get him, and they're trying to put the armor on David, Saul's armor. Saul stood a head and shoulders above everybody in the kingdom, if you know the story. They took his armor and stuck on him and handed him his sword and his shield and go to send him out. Can you imagine David in that? And David said, I can't go. I've never approved these things. I can't do that. And so he discards them. He goes out there with his shepherd clothes on and his sling. Now, his sling back then wouldn't be the slings we have today. You know, today we have them. We have some powerful slings. They pull back. There's a little brace that sits on your arm, and you pull that thing back, and you put a BB in there, and boy, those are mighty mean weapons. How many has ever played with one? And how many growing up you had a sling, a homemade slingshot? You know, what's a boy without a slingshot? You got to have a slingshot. I'll tell you what we had. We had grapevine growing in our house, and those grapes, they were great. That was before the day of paintball. Grapes made paintball come to pass. But I'll tell you something about grape juice. It doesn't wipe off. But I just love to sock somebody with a grape. And, you know, sometimes those grapes, you get them at the right time, they are hard. And they're very, very close to paintballs. But anyway, back then that was our era of having fun with the slingshots. But David's slingshot would look a little different. It wouldn't have a thing that pulled back. You twirled it around, and you put it in the middle, and you held the ends, and it went like this, and you whirled it, and then you let it go. And they learned, they used those for weapons, and even in the war, they learned to use them with their right hand, and they learned to use them with their left hand, and they became very efficient with those. And so, I don't know how many, but I can imagine if I was a shepherd and I had one of those and I'm watching sheep, I imagine there'd be a lot of this going on. How many of you think that's what you would do? You know, and David got very good with it. He was able to defend the sheep with it. And even defended with a lion and a bear. And many people believe this. They believe that these 30 days that was going on in this chapter that was being challenged by Goliath, and it took 30 days. What was David doing? That maybe that was where God is training David. Because he delivered a bear, he delivered the sheep from a bear, and he delivered the sheep from a lion's mouth. He delivered that, and he used what he had. He had a shepherd's staff, and he had a slingshot. And so this gave him confidence when he came. Hey, you know what? God can take care of this giant. He may be too big for people, but he's not too big for my God. And David stepped out there with faith. And I've said this before. I believe that David looked at Goliath like the poor guy. Goliath looked at him like the poor little lad. I'm just, you know, a strapling of the lad. I'm just going to flick him like a flea. And David looked at Goliath, the poor big guy. I can't miss him. He's so big. You know? And so, you know, he let that rock go. And David, and he had to admire him because David went running to Goliath. And we read the whole story. There's many verses. So I'm just telling you the story rather than reading it all. But David ran towards Goliath. Now, you know, I got to admit, that man, even though he was a seasoned soldier, he had children, at least probably five children at this time. He had children, and he was been trained from his birth to be a soldier and to be a killer. I was just trained. And here's this little guy in a shepherd's outfit, no uniform, no sword on him, no helmet, no mail armor, charging him. You got to admire that. I mean, if nothing else, I'd have to go get him, David. And, you know, you'd probably hear, yeah, one cheer, you know, like of confidence. I tell you, David didn't fight him with the cheers of all the people that thought he was going to win that day. David fought him with a confidence that God's going to take care of him. And I don't believe that it was a rock that killed David. I believe it was the power of God, and David allowed that power to work through him. He stepped out on that. And he whooped that rock around. He let that thing go. And, you know, there was a place that apparently Goliath didn't think anybody would ever reach. And it was right there in his forehead. That rock hit his forehead, and down that man fell. And David went over, drew his own sword. Close your eyes now. Drew his own sword and whoosh, cut his head off and held that thing up. Can you imagine the sinew and the blood and the guts hanging? There's David, a little boy, holding that head up. And then the army just charged and whooped that day, whooped on the Philistines. Whooping's better than getting just spanked. You know, whooped on them. And took care of them that day and won a great victory. That's just a great story. Can't help as I read through that. If I started reading, I'd hate to stop. It's just filled with so many different events that transpired. And I suppose one of the things we think about wars, it was an ugly thing to see that day. I mean, to think of David holding that head up, but to think about how many people were killed that day, how many bodies were laying in that valley that day. I mean, it'd be off the chart. And it would look like a horrifying scene. War is ugly. And I would hate to go to war, but sometimes we've deemed it needful as a nation to enter war. One person said this, if you're going to fight, if I think about the war, that different times in our nation that we fought. We think about the independence that we fought from England at this time. And we think about we didn't want to ever fall back under tyranny where somebody could control us. We couldn't defend ourselves. We couldn't have the freedoms. People rose up and wanted to defend those rights. Everybody that signed the Declaration of Independence, those people, if you read the history of them, they all suffered greatly. They paid a price for putting their name down on that paper. But they knew what they were doing that day, and they were glad to put their name. Some wrote bigger so nobody would ever miss their name on what they stood for. They may not live long, but they were going to live the way that they wanted to live, and they were going to live and try to help free a nation. So they were grateful for that. I think about the Civil War in our country. I can't imagine the Civil War. I can't imagine making the decision to bring our nation into civil war, for brothers to fight against brothers, for nation to fight against nation. I can't imagine that. But you know, if it was a fight, and I know some people say it was a different fight. I guess maybe I'm still a little dumb about it. I still believe it was a fight to free the black people from slavery. And I believe that was a legitimate fight. If I was black, I would not want to be a slave. I would want to be free, and I wouldn't want to be under the tyranny of someone. And they became a war over that. Now, maybe not everybody thought they were fighting for that reason, that the states had their individual rights, and that was some other things that could have been going on. I don't know, but I believe that many people thought that was the reason they were fighting for. And I think that's a noble fight to free somebody from slavery. If in our nation we've tried to set other nations free under tyrants, we think about the war in Iraq, and we think about the war of Saddam Hussein there that we entered into. I hope that it was more than just oil. One person said, you know, I really think it was just three reasons that war was: regular, premium, and unleaded. I hope not. But it was a war that had oil in mind. And the reason it had oil in mind, because Saddam Hussein had oil in mind. He was going to take over Kuwait, then he was going to take over Egypt, then he was going to take over the rest of the Middle East so he could control the oil of the world, and it would have been under the control of a tyrant. I believe there might be something to that, that why people would say maybe it was a war of oil. Anyway, he was genociding his own people, and his own people ended up, America freed his people. You freed that nation from that tyranny. By the way, allowed them to put together their own government and allowed that government to try themselves Saddam Hussein. I wouldn't have conducted a war like that. I say if you go to war, you know what? It's my oil. That's the way I would have. What's the sense of going to war and taking over a nation, risking your life, and then losing that? But anyway, we didn't do that. We had more sense than I'd have. And we freed that nation, allowed them to become their own individual people again. I think that's amazing of a nation. And When we think about David and Goliath, we think about, again, people. The Philistines were trying to put them in, under slavery. We think about Philistines were trying to put them under their rule and going to dictate what how they're going to live their lives out. And these people fought against that. When you think about David, he was no match for this giant. David was, it says he was a lad, a ruddy lad. David, it says that Goliath was almost 10 feet tall. In strength, he was no match. In experience, he was no match. Goliath, all his life, was trained to kill. He looked like a weapon. He looked like a weapon of mass destruction walking. Matter of fact, probably between his armor, the spearhead of Goliath weighed somewhere around 25 pounds. You know that's bigger than the shot puts that we throw today in the Olympics? 25-pound spearhead. How far are you going to throw that? So probably between the armor, which weighed probably somewhere 90 to 100 pounds, and the spearhead, probably that in itself weighed more than David. Let alone, what would Goliath weigh? You know, I have no idea. He could have been 3, 4. You know, I don't know. At least probably pushing at least 300 to 400 pound man, and it been greater than that. But he was a mammoth of a man. He had all that going for him. He was used to killing. Hopefully, David never killed a man. David was used to defending sheep. And David showed no lack of mercy cutting his head off. He fought that to win. He wasn't trying to wound him. He was trying to kill him and stop him from his tyranny. But it was a battle that looked like he was inadequate on one side to ever win. And I think we can take and draw lessons from that when we think about it. How did David do this? What was the mind frame of David? Well, I think that David had to face discouragement. And I'll tell you, a lot of battles are lost because people are discouraged. You know, the devil doesn't even have to shoot somebody who's discouraged. You know why? Because they give up before they even fight. Discouragement is a great tool. If you look there at Samuel 17:30, you know, his family is hearing him talk about, his brother's hearing him talk about the battle. Hey, somebody go out there and get him. Is there not a cause? That guy can't do that. David getting all cranked up, you know, that somebody ought to intervene. I don't think at this time he's thinking, I'm the one to go out there. He's surrounded by seasoned military people. He's surrounded by people who have weapons. He's surrounded by people who have fought before. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 30, I just want you to see this. After he said, his eldest brother, kept telling him to be quiet and go feed those small sheep that you're supposed to be tending. You know, he's mocking him. He's making little of him. And look what David did. And he turned from what? Him toward what? Another. You know what he did? He ignored him. And he turned and he said, there's a cause. There's a cause. And if somebody just ignored him, or if somebody just criticized the words that he was saying, he ignored him and turned to somebody else. I got the idea he was trying to get somebody to listen. He wasn't being discouraged. Discouragement has robbed so many people of victory. And what is it? Hey, you can't, you know, when you fight a giant is any huge problem that we face in life. And I just want you to know, any huge problem we face in life, it's going to have discouragement that we all have to face. You're not going to face a huge problem without somehow discouragement coming. And in this way, you know, one of the ways it was coming through words. Cannot words take the fire out of you? Take the zeal out of you? Take the strength out of you? Take the spirit of an attack out of you when you hear words. And these words are coming from somebody that is dear to his soul, his brother. The devil, I've said this before, I think it's worth thinking about. He said he had a great auction. He sold off envy and jealousy and hatred and malice and deceit and sensuality and pride and adultery. But he kept that one big one, he said. He wouldn't sell that one. The one big one was discouragement. He kept that. He didn't want to unleash that. Tonight, I'm talking to tonight about the trials of Job. I'm going to be talking about a family who had 9 children, lost all 6 of them in one tragedy, and what kept them going tonight. I'm going to tell you that story in the beginning of the message. But they learned, they faced difficulty and discouragement and went on and did well in adversity. The devil tries to get us to surrender through words of discouragement before we even enter into a fight so that we'll quit. That's why a lot of times when we start a fight, at the first bump, we quit. We get discouraged. You know, there's going to be many of hurdles and valleys that we need to cross. They're going to have many bumps, many hurdles in this thing that we call life today that we have to face. Goliath created an atmosphere of intimidation, an atmosphere of fear, an atmosphere of everyone before him is inadequate to face this mass destruction of a weapon called Goliath. Maybe in the years you'd be hearing before you ever fought, give up. It's too hard. He's too big. You're too small. You're too young. You're too weak. You're not tough enough. What's the sense of going out there? All these things to drain his tank, his juice, bring about discouragement. I think that somehow David rejected the discouragement in order to enter into this fight. He did not seem to me like somebody who was discouraged when he ran into the field and had the rock in his hand and had other 5 rocks in his pocket, 4 rocks in his pocket, and ran running towards Goliath. Old Chinese proverb, man who says it cannot be done should not disturb man doing it. I think this is the spirit of Goliath, or of David. So he rejected discouragement. He rejected failure. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 32, they hear of somebody. They bring him before Saul. Look what Saul, the king, says to David in verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servants will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Does that sound like somebody encouraging you to go get him? No, I mean, he said, you're inadequate. He doesn't have confidence. Otherwise, he's saying, listen, we need to get somebody else. We're failing before we even go into the fight with this guy. As David's hearing these words, like I said, words have a way of discouraging us. It paralyzes us. That's what the devil was trying to do, paralyze David. He knew the confidence that David had in the living God. He knew that, and the devil feared that. And from that, Saul begins to put on his armor in verse 39. And David said, I can't go out. I can't go out in these things. I've not proved them. Again, showing us that David's confidence was not going to be in Saul's armor, was not going to be in his helmet, it was not going to be in his sword. It was going to be in the living God. And he said, you know, God helped me with what I have, and I'm going out there and I'm going to face him what I have. And he had a slingshot. And he went out there and fought the battle, and we know how it went. What am I saying? I'm saying we ought to be careful in putting our faith in the wrong place. We have a tendency to want to trust in the wrong things in order to conquer a giant. And so let us make sure that our faith is in the true and the living God. You know, some people put their confidence in religion. Mormonism is a religion. It's a religion that's growing today. And they have their confidence in what Joseph Smith has recorded and what he has said and his truths. You know, they're going to find that confidence is in a lie. Jesus Christ is the truth in the way and the life. And they put their faith in a man. And we ought to make sure that our faith is not in a man, but it's in the God-man, the man Jesus Christ. And our faith in him who's came and died on the cross. Mormonism has some wild things that people believe. They believe that they're going to become gods. They believe that they're going to go to different planets. They're going to reproduce those planets, become gods of those planets. They believe in wearing a tunic. A tunic wards off evil. So they wear those for protection. They even hold them during the time of taking a bath. They'll hold it because that wards off the evil. I'll tell you, it's just more simpler to be under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's just greater, no greater is He that is in us than He is in this world. It's good to know that the confidence is not in man, but the confidence is in God. The confidence is not in man's strength, but the confidence is in God's strength. We can face the devil not because who we are. We can face the day because not who we are. We can face a difficulty not because who we are, because who God is. We can face that difficulty, face that challenge. We have Islam is growing by leaps and bounds today. And people are going to find, they're going to be shocked to find out that is a false God, that Allah is a false God, that Allah is dead and in the grave. By the way, a dead person isn't going to help anybody. Amen. And only Jesus Christ is alive and well. Amen. And so we have a live Savior. A lot of false confidence. David's strength came from not false confidence. He was trusting in the living God that day. You know, and it kind of goes together, but he rejected man's way there. When he refused to put off the armor, to put on the armor and wanted to take it off, he refused that day. He is putting his confidence not in man. He's putting his confidence in God. And so he's not trusting in man's way. He's trusting in God's way. I think that's a good illustration that we ought to reject man's way. Listen to this verse. And the Bible talks about the danger of going the wrong way. And so if we're not careful, we'll trust in the wrong way. Listen to this, Psalm 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Be careful that we're not following a man's way. There's a lot of different religions, a lot of different beliefs today. I encourage you not just to believe a Baptist, I encourage you to believe the Bible. Because you can have what you want on the door. You can say you're a church, but it doesn't mean that you're following the Word of God. Are you following me today? Make sure that we're going the way of God today. And in many religions, we're voting on things in churches. Somebody was telling me some things today that churches are endorsing in things today. If they go against the Bible, I'll tell you that's man's way. That's not God's way. Example. Man makes no sense of God's way. For example, if you want to get today, if you follow God's way, the way to get is to give. Now we're just talking money. I'm talking about giving yourself. If you want to go God's way, if you want to help yourself, you know what you need to do? You need to learn to help others. See, the world doesn't understand all that. We live in a selfish world. If we want to grow, guess what? You have to die. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What's the dying? Dying to self. Surrendering to the things of God. And in yielding ourselves and dying to ourselves, what happens is we begin to grow in the things of God. Just like something planted has to die. And as it gives its life, it produces more fruit. So the way up, you have to go down first. I guess I think of humility. I think of being humble. I think about falling on your knees. In order to go to heaven, you know what we need to do? We need to repent of our sin. We need to come to the fact that we can't save ourselves. We need to face the fact that Christ came and died on this cross and shed His blood, and only His blood can atone for our sin and take care of our sin. We need to realize every single person is underneath the condemnation of God, and we all have this in common. We're sinners needing forgiveness of God. So we have to go down in order to go up. You know, it's in the world, their idea is from the earth obtaining, reaching up. But actually, in the Word of God, it's that we're asking heaven to come down and meet our needs and help us and teach us and train us. Matter of fact, after we get saved, we're actually become ambassadors of heaven. We represent heaven. We represent its citizen, its truths, its values here on this earth. So we're asking heaven to be involved in the things here on this earth. Well, I'm just saying that it's a wonderful lesson that David learned as a young person. And these lessons were going to be so valuable to him throughout his entire career. And God had a purpose for David, and God has a purpose for all his children. But when you enter into the fight, there's going to be discouragement. You will face it. And you don't need to face it alone. We got a God that will go with us. And the first thing, and unless you know for sure that God's with you, you're in trouble. You'll probably follow man's way. You'll probably allow words to discourage you. You'll probably allow failure. Maybe the devil whispered in your ears, nobody else has done it this way, so you can't either. Nobody else has succeeded, so you can't succeed either. But if you allow God in your heart, he can give you that great victory. If you need to stand alone, God will give you the strength, him and you standing together. David did not have a lot of people to say, I'll go with you into that battle that day. It was David's fight, and God sustained him. It's a great story. Stand with me, please. You know, I believe that at times, stories like David and Goliath, that God loves to take somebody who doesn't believe that the strength's in their own self, they're insufficient, but will trust in God and bring about his glory. So that man can't say, I don't know how it was done. God just used him. God just spoke to his heart, and God used him in a great way. And maybe you're feeling inadequate, insufficient, that to face something that God's wanting you to face, a challenge, a hurdle that God's wanting you to take on today. Listen, step up to that challenge. Step up to that and face it. That God will help you go through what you need to do in order to bring about glory to him. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, as we bow our heads before you, we ask for your help. As we think about this great story of David and Goliath, God, we just rejoice in David's faith and his confidence in you. And we pray that not only would we take it and read it as a story, but you'd help us to apply it to our life today. And Father, we live in a day where we need many victories. And there is much discouragement to enter into the courses of these challenges that lie before us. And so help us, as our forefathers set a great example of not throwing in the towel in their era and brought about the freedoms that we enjoy today. We pray, our God, that we would enter into this arena as well and accept the challenge that lies before us this very day in our era. Please help us. We pray especially for those today that somehow they would not know you, our Father. There would be doubts on where they would spend their eternity. They lack the God confidence that's needed in their soul and their life. I pray today that you breathe fresh upon us here in this place and speak to hearts. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you keep your heads bowed for a moment, please? How many could say this today that, you know, you don't know a lot of things, but you know there was a day and a time that you opened your heart and you settled where you'd spend eternity. You and God come to the understanding where you understood you were a sinner. You understood you needed to ask him into your heart and ask for forgiveness. And you came to that and trust in him. And to this day, you are trusting him that if you died, to fulfill his promises of taking care of your soul and take you to his heaven. And you have that confidence in your heart. Would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me today. I have that confidence. God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over. You can put your hands down. I did not see anybody that could not raise their hand. But I wonder, I'm just going to extend this to you. That maybe this morning, it's for you. There's lacking something. And there's something in your heart that you're missing. I'm going to ask you to settle that thing today. We'd love to have you come If you walk down this front, we'll walk down front here in just a moment. We'll settle this with you from the Word of God. But I extend it even more. In the very place that you sit, you can ask Christ to come in and save your soul this very day. If you ask Him, He's promised that He'd save you. Do it now. Do it now. While people are praying, do it now. And maybe just this before we close. Maybe this. Maybe you're facing the hurdle of life. You're in the midst of the difficulty. I want to encourage you to go to God. I want to encourage you to take strength. I want to encourage you not let somebody's discouraging words have you throw in the towel. God has you in this battle, and I can't pretend why I know why, but I know that God can, grace can help us and sustain us in the midst of this. We've witnessed it. We've experienced it. We've seen it over and over and over. God do great things underneath great adversity. Maybe somebody's looking to you. Somebody's watching you to see where your real faith will lie through this test. I pray that God would help and sustain you and comfort you as only He may. If you'd just like special prayer before we sing our invitation, say you're in the midst of it. Pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up? Just slip your hand up. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Someone else, God bless you. Thank you. I pray God would help you. In the days to come, you'll be able to turn around and see God got you through this great difficulty. Father, help those, especially that are lost, and especially those that are under some problems, maybe so severe they cannot even put it into words. I pray, Father, that you hear the utterance of our heart today, and the hurt and the trial that we face, to look upon it, smile upon it, and help us. Pray we'd run the race that we should for thee until we can see you face to face. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Our invitation is His Way with Thee. 367, if you take your hymn books, please. 367, His Way with Thee. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure good? Invitation open if you'd like to come. Come on this first verse now. 367. As Brother Jay leads us. Within the narrow road, would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His soul and set you. Amen. Well, we encourage you to come back tonight. Services at 6 o'clock. And if you know somebody who's been through some trials, I'll tell you, somebody can relate to him. Job sure can relate to him. And if you haven't been through a trial, it's coming. You're not going to live very long until you face something. And most people in life, if God lets you live, you're going to face a huge hurdle somewhere along the line. And, you know, I'm telling you, if I revealed just the hurdles of folks in here today, if I just went through and called them out, you may never dream of the hurdle you're standing beside and adversity. Sometimes, and, you know, I'm going to pick on Brother Nolan. Brother Nolan looks like the just great health here. I mean, he just looks like he's ready to run the Olympics. He wouldn't say that, but he has faced just great adversity in his life. And I've heard some of the stories of where this thing has started. I mean, I was just like horrified of what the beginning of these things and what he went through and things. And I just thank God for victory. He sets a wonderful example. And he's in detention center. And he's in detention center prayerfully. Because, you know, he said no at first. And he prayed about it. And he said, if God gives him the strength, and God has given him that. And I'm thankful for that, as well as other things. But I'm just telling you that he faces adversity. I could name people in the midst in our service. Some are facing cancer. Some are facing huge health problems, bypass surgeries. And, you're standing probably beside or in the vicinity of somebody who is facing huge problems in life. I pray that we wouldn't just grow so callous to people that we wouldn't reach out to them and encourage them and support them. You've seen what happens. Words came to David. They were not encouraging during a time of go get him, go get David, go get Goliath. That wasn't the spirit of that time. The spirit was the poor guy is going to be, he's going to eat him alive, you know, and we're going to witness it right before our eyes. And so sometimes trials are like that. I pray that we would look to heaven and trust God. I've seen people get saved watching somebody else go through a trial. God can use trials is what I'm saying. And so if you know, the devil thought he killed Christ, but he brought about our redemption. The devil thought he killed Moses, but the Pharaoh's daughter ended up training the guy that was going to deliver the Hebrews. I mean, God's able to reach down and turn things around. Israel had to go into captivity, but God spoke to a lost king's heart and set them free, you know, and helped them rebuild their land and their temple and the walls. I mean, God can turn things around. And if not, he gives us the grace and strength to go through what we need. He didn't say that we'd always have, he says it rains on the just and on the unjust. And so we're not gonna escape difficulties, but we do have his promise that his grace will come with us. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Jay to come and close for us in prayer this morning, please.
Dear God, thank you for the encouragement of your word. We thank you that David gives us an example from the Psalms, Lord, as he went through many problems and how he wrote of your great deliverance. And just pray that as we need encouragement, we can go to your word and ask your Holy Spirit to help us. Just be with us this afternoon, this evening, and bring us back safely tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. All God's people.